D&D
doop
doop.
D&D doop doop.
D&D doop doop.
D&D doop doop.
Well, if it isn't my favourite podlings, grab yourselves a bowl and a spot by the fire. It's dinner time! Now, we had a little mishap last time where the cooking was concerned. It was because of me, but I wouldn't say it was my fault. It's a very important difference, wouldn't you say? If something's your fault, I think it means it happened because you meant it to, you knew it would happen, and then you did it. Is that fair? What happened was, I was seeing if I could fix my claw, but I didn't realise just how brim, tip-top full of magic I still was. So, me tinkering with the magical mechanics brought on another wild magic surge. A bit like how playing with Pfeffa brings on the sneezes. But this was a big explosion of chaotic elemental energy. Now I've always had them, these surges. Sometimes they come out of nowhere, and sometimes I can feel them brewing. But one thing they always are is unpredictable. This time, the surge sent our campfire flame shooting high into the air, like a big belch of fiery dragon's breath. It soon died down, but not before burning the stew, and, I'm sorry to say, tack a bit too. He was more cross than hurt, thankfully, and lucky for me, when I said about how I couldn't help it, he was alright about it. People aren't always that understanding, let me tell ya. Still, I'm going to be extra specially attentive to tech this evening. I mean, I'd say it's the least I can D&D do.
Right, it's dinner time.
Yes,
buckle
get
up.
In. My stomach is grumbling.
Right, well, buckle up because... Here. And he gives you a bowl.
Thanks. This is really good for the constitution, you know.
Right.
Nom 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 nom.
I don't put any in yet.
All right. I'm curious about what the side effects of such a meal might be. Just, I can't help it. It's like the tinkerer in me. Just like, let's make a little mental hypothesis. We'll see.
Have you got a mental hypothesis?
Yeah. Well... Do you want to put a coin on it? Who can withstand the...
All right.
Withstand the cook.
So, I'll... Have I got any? Of course I do. I've got all these. I've got this massive bag of them. Well, you can have one.
What have I got? I'll have a little root around. I don't have an eagle. I'll put a...
You could put a cog on it if you want.
I'll put a 2 silver on it.
All right. I've put this clove of garlic on it.
All right then. Yeah. Oh yeah, I like a bit of garlic.
Right.
Nice.
I think this is going to be a difficult meal.
Right. Right, I think this is going to go down a treat.
Right.
Slip down the hole. Can edit that if you want.
And he gets a big ladle full. And puts it into your bowl.
Oh, lovely! Oh, I've got the head as well, the fish head.
Oh, you make sure that he gets.
Yes.
You get the. Yeah, it's rather blackened and shriveled, and the eye sockets are sunken now.
Yeah.
no eyeball left. Yeah. I might have to do a little infusion, a digestive one, to help things along, but. It might not be the case that we need to help things along. It might be the opposite, that we need to help things kind of stay where they are. If you want to roll perception.
Okay, perception is +1, 3.
Okay, so yeah, Nyx tucks in.
All right, I'm going for it.
Okay. So if you now want to roll constitution.
Alright.
What you're not aware of is the fact that Tack is not eating. He's just watching you with an inscrutable look.
Yeah.
Sort of half expectant, half fearful, and another half of like slightly cheesed off.
Right, so what am I rolling?
Constitution, I think.
Right.
Or maybe it should be survival. We'll do constitution for this one.
All right. Plus 3, 7. The dice tell their story.
As Tack predicted, it is not an easy meal.
Yeah.
The flavours are bold, unexpected, and there are also interesting textural elements, including quite a lot of ash from when the flames died down, and quite a lot of the interior surfaces of the pan itself were all making its way in. Yeah, but you know, you're troughing in.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
How's that then?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Oh, wait.
Would you like some more? Have some more.
Wait. Crunch. Oh, got past that bit. Still going. I don't think this is wise anymore. I would expect you to get the better bit of the portion. It would be fair.
I'm not sure. I'm very hungry.
Nix is just going to lay back on the log behind him and just like... I think he's sweating a little bit. Just from the...
Yeah. Nix went and got some mushrooms, didn't he?
Yeah. Nix was doing the rounds and he might have found some berries and some mushrooms.
So there's some nice sides.
Yeah, I think he is 2 silver.
Thank you very much. And drops them into his little... pouch. That's another 2 to go when we find my stash.
There you go. The stars are coming out, look. Oh,
oh yeah. I think Tack's going to start digging out a little depression in the ground so that he likes to have a little bit of a hollow to sleep in. I can't say I feel mightily full, so I'll have to make tonight comfortable in a different way.
Yeah. Look, I can see very clearly cooking is like, you know, it's something that you've got like skills in, you know, and I respect that, and I am like, I am sorry that I absolutely staffed that up, because I mean, if I was like doing me claw and you just like came over and kicked like a big like mound of dust while I was like tinkering away, you know, I'd be pretty miffed. So I think it's important, you know, I feel like I've got a bit of goblin honour, you know. I'm not above it.
Tack, he reaches into his seasoning pouch and he passes you a little tuft of a green plant and he, you know, gives you a little smile. Have a chew on that.
Ooh.
It's like a herb, a little bit like a parsley type thing. It'll help it go down.
Oh,
I'm not really cross. Yeah, no, I like cooking. I wouldn't say I love it. I just think it's important.
Thank you for the green fluff. I'll like throws it up into the air like a piece of popcorn. And
don't swallow it, just keep chewing it.
Right.
Suck all the juice out. That'll help.
Oh, that's good, Ruth.
Yeah, you feel some of the uncertainty within your system, your digestive system, just ease a little bit.
Okay. Nix was on like a amber alert to rush off into the woods, but I think he's settled a bit more.
You know, there is the what would you call it? Like the culinary issues of the meal, but I think more than that, it's the fact that the whole pot was surrounded by this surge of magical energy, so it's kind of infused with magic as well, you see. So that is an interesting thing for your stomach to be dealing with as a meal.
All right,
so it's quite an interesting,
maybe that's something to work on in the future, a sort of like magical infusion.
I never thought of that. He's going to get out his little notebook and say, that's really interesting.
So I'm finding that like within my tummy, it's unsettling for sure.
Oh yeah.
But it's got some sort of magical properties, so maybe, you know, at some point we could sort of do a bit of sharing, or I could lend a bit of my magic to your cooking and we could make something special up.
Oh, that's interesting. We could continue to look for ways to combine the effects of the ingredients with the magic.
Nice. Yeah.
Just let me know if one of those things is going to happen. If you can, yeah, just give me a heads up.
I will try my utmost.
And I'll get my chainmail sweater on.
Alright, so I think Nyx is getting nice and comfy by the fire. He's got like a few nice mossy logs to create a bit of a chair for himself.
And he's got his long coat.
Oh yeah, his sort of patchwork of different fabrics, and he probably used it for many years just to like sleep under as a blanket. But yeah. Now he's wearing it, and it's, you know, it's been burnt at the edges, and it's been singed, and it's been patched up. Yeah, yeah, he likes it. It brings him comfort.
I think. I'm picturing this human proportioned coat that comes down all the way to, well, trails on the ground because of its length. So the pockets are really,
you know, it's a bit of a like a train.
Yeah,
that comes behind him. That's like worn down. It's got rips and tears, and he's just had like other pockets sort of sewn in all around, like on the inside, to keep various bits and bobs and his tinkering tools. And he's just sort of gathering that up around him. Oh, getting comfy now.
Oh yeah, it's been a long day.
Like, you know, in the battle back there, and I know it's been a slippy day for you, your sword skills, I was very impressed. It was very poetic, I guess. But yeah, that had something, like you were dancing and you were sort of like a beautiful balance.
Quite a bit of screaming, charging.
Oh, was
running backwards and forwards.
Was that not part of the like tactics?
Oh, my tactics. tactics. Yes, absolutely. Yes, well, running away is part of what we're trained in when we're in doing our military service.
Yeah, yeah, it's like zoom in and attack and like feign and sort of
faint.
Like, faint.
Just literally faint. That's a very useful skill. You just faint when you wake up. Everything's moved on. If you're lucky. Yeah, well, you see, it's. I'll let you into a secret. It was one of my better classes in Kobold School, because we all have to go into like military service for a couple of years when we're growing up. And
blimey!
I know it's we have to every it's part of the deal. Being a kobold back in where do I live?
You live...
There's Cadric.
Cadric.
That's the island. Just one moment.
Meraki.
No. Oh, yeah, we're on Meraki. That's... No, the actual...
Is it not?
Dardica. Don't laugh. That's where I live.
No, I'm not. I'm not laughing.
What's wrong?
It was the speed at which you delivered the line.
Yes.
It made me chuckle.
Yeah, well, because I come from Dardica, and... part of the arrangement we have with Bathanax is that all kobolds have to do military service, so that should any adventurers come to steal Bathanax's stash,
all right.
That's when we have to step in to be the first line of defence.
Ah, right.
So I had to do, what do you call it? What do you call it when you're swordsmanship? So I wasn't so good on the theory. See, the thing is, I'm just not interested. I'm not interested. I don't really want to go and be in a battle or all the rest of it. But I did really enjoy the classes, because we had these straw adventurers.
Yeah.
You know, right. We'd have one that looked like a big barbarian.
Yeah.
And he was stuffed full of flour. He was like big, heavy,
meaty,
big lump.
Big bruiser.
Yeah. And we put him on a little roly thing so he could move around, and we'd have to practice our moves.
Yeah.
And then we'd have the fighters, who were stuffed with straw, and we had these little smaller ones as well to be other kobolds, and we'd have to, you know, practice our moves. And we'd have this one where you'd attack it and it would swing round, and its other arm would swing round and bring this bag of flour at your head, and you had to get out of the way.
Oh, right.
And it was really good fun. I really liked it. But see, the good thing was that it was like, it was just, we were just going for these dummies, these mannequins. And it's like, I had to kind of like not do too well. Because if I did too well, then they'd go on, they'd put me in the militia when it's time for me to get my job, they'd put me in the militia, and I don't really want to do that. So I just try to keep my head down, really.
Yeah, so you had to, like, put your talents under a, like, thorny bush and hide them away a bit.
Yeah, I got brought out to the front of the class at one point to demonstrate how to do something. And it was that moment when I realised I needed to do something different, because a teacher said, "Carry on this way, young kobold, you'll be a captain one day." And I was like, oh. So from that point on, I was really careful to do well enough not to get detention, but not to do so well that they put me in the militia.
Yeah, it is.
So,
yeah, it's a tricky line. I find your culture, you know, it's very fascinating. It's so different from the swamp, you know. I'm not good at, like, so many things, but there's particular things which... and this goes with, like, a lot of goblins, you know. We sort of... what we're passionate about, we're allowed to pursue, so... we're not forced into any, like, regimented... It doesn't work for our culture at all.
Well, we're allowed to pursue it just as long as we've done everything else we're supposed to do. Mind you, there is always something else that we're supposed to be doing, so it is hard to do the thing that we really want to do.
Well, what is it that you enjoy? What makes your scales tingle?
As you say this, he suddenly kind of, it brings him up short, and he falls silent, and his brow furrows, and he's like, no one's ever asked me that before. Well, there's lots of things, I'm sure. There's, anyway, how's your stomach? And you can tell that he's like, he's gone as far, it's brought him up short. And
I think, you know, Nick's as curious and as much as his mind is sort of racing to push a little bit further, I think he's going to recognise that, you know, it's been a day.
Mm.
So he's going to leave it there.
Mm.
And he's just going to wrap himself up a little bit more. It's beautiful up there. Check out those stars. Letting Tack off the hook sort of thing.
Yeah, Tack's okay. It just goes very thoughtful.
Yeah.
And the opportunity to just snuggle up in his hollow that he's made for himself and look up at the stars is actually really welcome, and you see his eyes are starting to droop. Yeah. He's tired. Okay. Let's check in with how Nyx is doing now.
What was the route? The sort of the mossy...
Yeah, it was Parsage.
Passage, nice. Mm. I think now that he's chewed that, and I think he's settled, his mind's still racing, so he's just sort of like mulling over the day. He's just enjoying like the crackle of the fire.
Nice.
And he's like looking at the small collection of elemental rocks, and he's thought about trying to communicate with them, but he's not had much.
I think you notice that as Tack gets more and more relaxed, the boulder and the five little stones just edge closer and closer, because they're gauging that they can, you know, he's not going to knock them, you know, sort of shoo them away. And as Tack's eyes fully close, the boulder and the little stones just insinuate themselves under Tack's ankle, and all the little pebbles arrange themselves on top.
That's awesome. Nyx just has a little smile to himself. and he's just going to look into the fire and think about the day. And
all right, so you're gazing into the fire, and you're watching all the sparks darting, and it crackles away, and the sparks go up into the air, tumbling and spinning higher. These little orange flecks of light that draw your eyes up to the stars. And the stars are shining with this colder, bluer light. It's very, very beautiful. It's a mostly clear night, and you can see all the stars scattered through the gap in the canopy where your clearing is. And the more you look at the stars, the more stars you see. It's like as your eyes adjust and the more you watch, the stars unhook from the sky, and having done so, start to move. You have a sense that this is in part due to the wild magic surge, and also
the magically infused stew, something's starting to happen, something that you recognise, and you think, oh, it's happening again.
All right, what's going on here then? Like, everything else is just like background now, just fades away.
Starting to become weightless. Up and up you go, leaving your campfire with Tack and the boulder and the little stones. They're far below. You can see them getting smaller and smaller until it's just this little orange speck. And the higher you go, the more you start to remember. And you're heading to the above and beyond. And this is a magical place that you visited many times before. So the above and beyond is many things, and you could describe it as a dream state where different beings can share each other's dreams. Okay. And everything flips, and up and down seem to have changed places. You settle, blump, next to this other campfire.
Right.
And you see next to you is the boulder.
Ah, hello, rocks.
It's kind of outlined in a white-blue moonlight. It's definitely the boulder, and you know if you reached out to touch it, it would feel solid. Okay, so you think the boulder might be dreaming, or maybe it's you that's dreaming, and the dream seems to be to do with being very low to the ground, with something solid and heavy above you. It doesn't weigh you down, it's more that it keeps you close. And you have a sense of being one of quite a few, all of you being kept close, a whole of many parts. You feel always ready to hold things strongly up, and you're always ready to move. This is a big one. In fact, if anything, the only thing that stops you moving is this whole of many parts above and next to you. It holds you in place, but not as a prisoner. All the same, you do have a sensation of frustration and impatience. You just want to move and get out there. And then it's like, you know, when you're having a dream and it sort of slides to another event, another place, and you think you're remembering a particular day, and it's the day when it all changed. Some rope drops around you and pulls tight. It's really confusing. You can't move as normal and you feel off balance. And then you connect that sensation to when you saw kobolds hurling rope lassoes at the stone elemental. Yeah. I think that memory completely fits within your middle.
I think Nyx is sort of, you know, he's fighting, he's feeling trapped.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, get off me.
Yeah. And then comes the strangest sensation of all. Something gets severed and there's nothing to hold you back anymore. You feel lighter and full of energy. There's nothing to stop you doing one of the things you are meant to do.
Yes.
Which is keep moving.
Go.
And you can go so much faster now.
This
and off
is
you
great.
Go.
He's just racing.
You do exactly what it is you want.
Yeah, you're just, nothing's going to stop me.
Yeah, you feel like you can feel yourself tumbling across the land. But it's not just you. There's five little ones are coming too. They follow behind, all higgledy-piggledy, trying to keep up. And you love it. It's like a game of tag.
Yeah.
And it goes
Come
on.
Come on, you lot.
They all tumble after. And this chase, this game of tag, goes on for a long, long time. At least days and days, probably weeks and maybe even months. But there's a slow and creeping change. You start to realise that as much as you started off loving all this movement, you can't actually seem to stop now because the whole of many parts isn't there to hold you. And for the first time, you remember how nice it was to be held and part of something bigger. And the five little ones are following you and they're looking to you to show them the way. And that was never your job before and you don't know how to do it. For the first time, you roll to a stop. And in your throat, Nyx, you gulp. Give us a gulp.
Gulp.
And now you're starting to feel afraid. You can feel the boulder's fear.
I think in this moment, Nyx looks around. This, like looking around and feeling like that loneliness. I think that's something that Nyx himself is used to. And he's quite an independent gobbo. Yeah.
But now you want to get back to the whole of many parts, so off you go, hurling yourself through bushes, banging into tree trunks and other rocks, powering through rivers until you burst through some ferns and squelch You land in a gloopy mud pit, and you have to get to the other side so you can carry on searching. But the mud itself seems to be stopping you. How dare it try and stop you? It makes you really cross and a bit scared that this mud is trying to stop you from moving. And at that moment, you feel yourself collide with the mud boil. And Nyx, you jolt awake, and you're surrounded by trees, but there's no sign of the clearing.
Okay. Oh, mossy lumps. Hello? I've gone and done it again, haven't I?
Oh yeah!